Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years, which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. Before we get started, I want to mention that our call-in line, if you have questions or comments, is 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. This day in history, May 4th. In 1776, Rhode Island becomes the first among the 13 colonies to officially declare their separation from King George III of England, asserting the fierce independence of their settlers, who ironically would be the last to finally ratify the U.S. Constitution, which united the country 14 years later. In 1865, President Abraham Lincoln finds peace after 4 years of turmoil as he is laid to rest in Springfield, Illinois. The chief executive's funeral train traveled through several states, drawing hundreds of thousands of mourners across the nation. People weeping along the railroad tracks as the train passed by for Lincoln's trip back to his hometown for the last time. And in 1979, Margaret Thatcher is elected Prime Minister of England, becoming the first female leader of the nation, which was faltering due to labor strife, inefficiencies, and long-standing liberal policies, which she promised to reverse by trimming the size of government. She later succeeded in an 11-year administration, despite fierce opposition, being nicknamed the Iron Lady due to her tough rhetoric and determination to stand up to entrenched parties that tried in vain to thwart her every move. Thatcher would later be ranked among the greatest prime ministers in British history. If you're not a pilot or in the military, you may never have taken a ride in a helicopter. I have, in a Jetstar chopper back in 1979, when I was doing field work for my master's thesis in petroleum geology, traveling the canyons and ravines along the Texas-Mexico border. I can say that riding in a helicopter is a very unique experience, not for the faint of heart. Helicopters have been important contributors to our efforts to win wars, search for victims of natural disasters, and conduct critical operations around our country and throughout the world. The American Helicopter Museum near Westchester, Pennsylvania, showcases numerous helicopters and other forms of aircraft which have been critical contributors to our safety and security for decades. The museum has exhibits on the history of aviation, as well as several working models of helicopters like the Boeing V-22 Osprey, the Bell Cobra, the Hughes Osage, and many others. They even have a flight simulator where you can see what it's like to operate one of these massive vehicles, along with a torque display where you can replicate flight movements, a library and archives with information on the industry, which has a long heritage in the Philadelphia area with manufacturers like Piasecki, and the large Boeing Vertol plant where my own father worked as an engineer back in the mid to late 1960s, and where my nephew works today. We're talking with Mark Scheffler, the chairman of the board for the museum. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Gene. It's great to be here.
Yeah, now, Mark, exactly what is your position and major responsibilities there at the museum?
Well, I'm chairman of the board of trustees, and we have general oversight over the operations of the museum. And the executive director, Sarah Sands, reports to the board. She handles the day-to-day operations, while the board is charged more with strategy.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been there?
I've actually been on the board for about 4.5 years and chairman for 2.5.
Okay. And tell us exactly where is the American Helicopter Museum? What street's it on?
So we're on 1220 American Boulevard, which is off of Aviation Road. It's right on the Brandywine Airport. And for people in the area, probably best know it as being right down the street from QVC.
Mm. And is there any particular significance to that specific location being near Westchester? Is there any specific reason that you chose that location?
Well, the location is handy being right on the airport, and we found that the building was available. It actually was formerly the delivery center for MBB helicopters years ago. And, of course, there's a lot of history to why we should have it here in the Delaware Valley.
Mm-hmm. When did the helicopter museum come into existence?
The museum opened in October of 1996, so we're actually celebrating our 20th anniversary this year. It was first conceived in the 1993-1994 time frame.
Mm-hmm. And what is the mission of the museum? What are you trying to accomplish?
We actually have our mission is threefold. First of all, we want to preserve the history of the rotary wing aviation. So we do that through our exhibits and our collection. We want to educate people about helicopters and their many missions, which, as you mentioned, include everything from the military side to commercial transport and to life-saving. In fact, our tagline is helicopters save lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then our third is to inspire future generations, which we do through our STEM education program. Our actual full name of our nonprofit is the American Helicopter Museum and Education Center.
Mm. Who were the original founders of the museum? Who were the people that actually had the first idea to put it together?
The three primary founders were Peter Wright, who used to own Keystone Helicopters. He's since passed away. Mm. He was also a noted aviator. He was a member of the Flying Tigers during World War II in China.
Mm-hmm.
The other is an engineer for Boeing turned lawyer named Treb Lipton, who's also no longer with us.
Mm.
And finally, Bob Beggs, formerly of Boeing, who was our chair for many years.
Mm, interesting. Now, you mentioned to me personally that you worked for Boeing for a long time. Tell us a little bit about your experience at Boeing.
So I worked for Boeing for 38 years, all in the helicopter and rotorcraft side of the business. Almost all of it was at the plant in Eddystone, near Ridley Park.
And that's just off of 95,
right?
Right? Yeah.
I did spend 6 years out in Mesa, Arizona, at what used to be the McDonnell Douglas facility there. I was at that place, I was the lead design for the Apache helicopter upgrade, and later was the deputy director of engineering. But I've worked on the V-22 Osprey, the Chinook, the CH-47, and several helicopters that we can't talk about here.
You know, my father was an engineer. He worked on the Chinook, and again, this is back in the 60s. I believe the Vietnam War was the first war that the Chinook was widely used in, is that correct?
Yes, yeah, the Chinook came about in the 60s, and interestingly, the government is now saying that the Chinook will be in operation through at least 2060, so it should see at least 100 years of operation, which is amazing.
That is incredible. Now, that's a testimony to its incredible usefulness. Tell us a little bit about the Chinook.
Well, the Chinook is a transport helicopter. It actually sort of grew out of the CH-46 Sea Knight, which was a smaller version that was operated by the Navy Marines, and the Army said, well, you know, that looks really good. We just want a bigger version of that. And they all owe their heritage back to the Piasecki plant, which had the H-21 and so on, that kind of pioneered the tandem rotor helicopter.
You know, when I was a kid, I remember my father mentioning the name Piasecki quite often. How far back does Piasecki go in this area?
So Frank goes back into the 30s and 40s, and you know, his legacy still lives on, not only in the helicopters that he helped design and had the manufacturing plant, but Piasecki Aircraft still exists today in Eddystone, run by his sons, John and Fred.
Now, are they still, are they an independent corporation, or are they owned by another company?
No, they're independent.
Hmm. So that's a long heritage. Again, I know they were very well respected back when my father was an engineer. I assume their reputation is still pretty stellar overall.
Yeah, and they are very good partners of the museum. In fact, Fred Piasecki is on our board.
Well, interesting. How many actual helicopters do you really have at the museum? It sounds like you walk in and see maybe three or four, but I'm guessing you have dozens maybe.
Actually, we have about 29 on display currently.
Hmm.
We're a little cramped for space, and we'd like to talk about our expansion, but we have a number of them outside, and then inside we have quite a bit. In fact, we have a few that are hanging from the ceiling because we didn't have enough room to display them on the floor.
Tell us about a couple of the ones that people typically see when they walk into the museum.
So goes back to probably one of our oldest ones is a Bell 47. It's a two-place helicopter. It goes back to around, probably the late 40s, maybe early 50s.
Is that one of the older ones?
It is the oldest one that's on display right now.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have an older one, a Sikorsky R6, that dates to the early days of World War II that is currently in restoration, and we hope to have it on display shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, all the way and up, as you mentioned in the beginning, to the V-22 Osprey, which is the tilt rotor. We are the only museum in the world that has a V-22 on display.
Interesting.
In between all that time, we have like the Hughes OH-6, which is probably most famous as the helicopter that performed the rescue in Black Hawk Down.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Robinson R-22 commercial two-blade rotor that has probably more of them manufactured in the U.S. than all the other ones combined because it's so popular as a trainer.
Mm.
We have a Cobra attack helicopter.
A Cobra?
Yes. Yeah.
Those are very fast and very lethal, as I understand.
Yes, they are. And obviously we have our eyes on maybe, you know, its lineage going to the Apache, which we don't have yet. One of our newest acquisitions is a UH-34 Sikorsky that was the precursor to the Chinook and operation, or the Sea Knight, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And it was given to us by the National Air and Space Museum in pristine condition.
Excellent. We're just about to take a short commercial break, but stay with us. We'll be back with Mark Scheffler, the chairman of the board of the American Helicopter Museum near Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Honey, we need
a springtime getaway.
A springtime getaway. Somewhere with
amazing food.
Amazing food. And
cozy couples lodging.
Right, but not too far away or
Gettysburg.
Gettysburg?
Yep, Gettysburg.
Okay, but I want award-winning
golf courses.
Horseback riding.
A frickin' festival.
How do you know all of this?
They have an app.
They have an app?
Yep, at destinationgettysburg.com.
So, Gettysburg.
Yep, Gettysburg.
Gettysburg, PA. Make your own history.
If you had to choose a roofer, would you choose one with limited experience and knowledge, or would you choose a roofer certified as a master elite contractor by the largest manufacturer in the nation, GAF, a distinction shared by only 3% of the nation's roofers? I'm talking about GP Martini Roofing, who also does siding, windows, doors, and offers an ironclad guarantee that he'll repair or replace any roof for defects within its normal life. GP Martini Services, Chester, Delaware, Bucks, and Montgomery counties, with free estimates and consultation, and does both commercial and residential. Go to their website at martiniroofing.com for special savings, or call 610-873-1696. And also, financing is available with no payments for a full year. Now, what roofer would you call? GP Martini is the answer, 610-873-1696.
WCHE 1520 AM, Chester County's best commercial radio station.
Wait a minute, isn't this Chester County's only commercial radio station?
Oh, we're Chester County. Okay. Chester County's best and only commercial radio station.
I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. Today, we're talking with Mark Scheffler, the chairman of the board of the American Helicopter Museum near Westchester, Pennsylvania. Mark, you mentioned that the museum has got about 29 helicopters there available for visitors to see. I think you mentioned earlier that you got at least one from Piasecki. Where did you get all the helicopters?
They come from various sources. We have some that are on loan from government military museums. Some are donated either from the government or are donated from private sources. And a few we have gotten from companies like Piasecki, who have given to us. While and we have a large restoration center, because not all of them come in display ready condition.
It just occurred to me that museums like yours, which try to feature large equipment or vehicles, might actually contact the Department of Defense directly. Do you have any interaction with the Department of Defense to say, hey, give us your used helicopters?
Yeah, quite often. We are scouring. You know, we one that we were really looking for that's a very well-known helicopter is the Huey from Bell, and you know, we spent an awful lot of time trying to find them as we found that they were coming out of service.
Now, Hueys, were they also used in Vietnam?
Yes.
I thought so. What? Just tell us a little bit more about the exhibits you have at the museum. I think I hinted at earlier you've got a variety of ones. You've got the history of helicopters. You got a library and archives. You have what's called a Mobile Army Surgical Hospital helicopter. That's a MASH copter. You've got one on the history of rotary wing aviation. You've got a lot of different exhibits. Tell us a little bit about a couple of those.
Okay, so the one that's the history one, we call it the Cradle of Rotary Wing Aviation. The Delaware Valley had an enormous amount of the development of helicopters occurred here. There was Harold Pitcairn, who had the autogyros, which are kind of a precursor to the helicopters, was first manufactured here under license to Juan de la Sivierva from Spain. We have Arthur Young had his roots here. A lot of his developments went into forming what is now Bell Helicopter. And Frank Piasecki, of course, and many, many others who had development here. And then today, a large number of the world's helicopter companies are represented in the Delaware Valley, Augusta Westland, Sikorsky, Boeing, and Piasecki.
Now, I think I mentioned briefly that you've got a flight simulator. What is that all about? Can you actually get in and feel like you're flying a helicopter?
Yes. The students from Lehigh, as their senior design project, took some commercial flight software and adapted it, put it into a Bell helicopter cockpit. And so folks will be able to get in and actually have the experience of piloting a helicopter.
Interesting. Now, what are the types of helicopters we typically see on the news with the weather guys hovering around the city? What kinds of copters are those?
Well, there a lot of them are Bell Jet Rangers. There's a pretty wide variety, some Augusta ones. There's some from what is now Airbus helicopters. You know, there's so many commercial manufacturers in the world.
What is your personal favorite exhibit at the museum?
Wow, that's kind of like asking who's your favorite kid. you know, from a personal standpoint, I worked on two of the helicopters, so the V-22, and we have a mock-up of a modified Chinook, the SeaStar. But one of the things that I really love to see is we have some small helicopters that are by no means historic, but the kids are allowed to get in there and pretend like they're flying, and to see the little ones and the joy on their face and the excitement, and that's again part of our mission to inspire future generations.
Interesting. I would hesitate to have this actually happen, but I was just wondering, do you ever give actual demonstrations of taking the helicopter up in the air from the museum at any point during the year?
So we have a number of times during the year when people can fly. You know, Liberty Helicopters comes in and gives rides for an additional price. Our next one happens to be May 15th.
Oh.
So it's coming up real soon.
Yes.
And then one of our biggest events of the year is on Father's Day, June 19th. It's our Father Fest. And that day we have, besides our open house, we have a classic car show, which is attractive for a lot of the dads.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have drone demonstrations.
Oh,
so we
excellent.
Have, I think, 5 drone operators that are going to put on some fancy flight for us.
So if you want to take a helicopter ride, go to the Helicopter Museum. Is it on May 15th? Did
May
you say?
15th or June 19th.
Or June 19th,
two,
yeah.
Two opportunities.
Personally, you said to me that you're planning some expansion. Tell us a little bit about your plans for expansion there at the museum.
Okay, we had a unique opportunity in that while we owned the building, we had a tenant on the other half of the building who has left for larger space, freeing up space for us to do some things that we've been wanting to do for a while. One is we are going to have a state-of-the-art theater that will be able to accommodate at least 150 people.
Mm.
It will be modular, so we can have corporate events, we can have training, we can have lectures.
Mm-hmm.
We moved the restoration over to the other side, giving them more room so they can work on more helicopters or larger ones.
Mm.
We're going to have 2 brand new classrooms because, as I mentioned, we have a lot of programs for K through 12, including a program that's given us a lot of recognition called Women in Aerospace and Technology.
Mm.
And we will also have a new early childhood center where we'll, you know, kind of target the toddlers.
Yes. Do you get a lot of school groups there?
We have a tremendous number of school groups, and I should mention that we've just started a fund to help defray some of the costs because some of the schools find it very challenging to be able to go on these field trips.
Mm-hmm. So you do get a lot of visitors from schools. You've also got this 20-year celebration coming up in the fall. Tell us a little bit about the plans for that.
We have a new exhibit that we should be unveiling soon called the Pioneer Hall /Innovations exhibit, where we will not only tell the story about the early helicopter pioneers, but we will also have an interactive exhibit where people can learn about some of the challenges that the pioneers faced and then try their hand at problem solving. And in conjunction with that, we hope to have an open house. And by the way, it's also Boeing's 100th anniversary
this year.
So they want to come over and have kind of a Boeing day and our 20th anniversary day together. So there may be a number of events that will happen in the fall.
Now, is this one specific date or is it a period of days in the fall?
We haven't narrowed down everything. We'll probably have more than one day where we'll have different types of events. We'll certainly have the public unveiling of this because in addition to the interactive exhibit that I just mentioned, we also are going to be one of the few museums in the world that's going to display a portion of the human-powered helicopter that won the $250,000 Igor Sikorsky Prize.
Mm.
And this is an outfit called AeroVelo from Canada.
Mm. When was that? When did it win the prize?
It was just a few years ago, and they had to stay aloft for a certain amount of time and keep control within a certain area.
Mm.
It was a one pilot pedaling for all they're worth, and it's 4 arms with rotors on the end of each one, and it's big enough that it takes up an entire gymnasium. So they're giving one-fourth an arm and one rotor set to 4 different museums, and we're one of them.
Interesting. You know, I've been down to Kitty Hawk, where you know, modern flight began here in the U.S. with the Wright brothers. I think about helicopters, and I think to most people, they don't seem that old. But how old was when was the original helicopter as we know it today developed?
Really in the 40s was when helicopter really came to being, although, you know, it traces its roots back to Leonardo da Vinci and the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, really the technology came about in the 40s.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure where in the 40s. I mean, was it used much during World War II? Or just for a part
very, very spotty. In fact, the R6 that we have was mostly used by the RAF, and there were only a few of them. It was really the Vietnam War, which, as you probably know, is often called the helicopter war.
Yes, very definitely.
So that's where it became, you know, most well known.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any special guests or lecture series? You ever get an ex-pilot come out there and talk, that kind of thing?
We do. It's not on a regular schedule basis, but we've had generals, pilots, people who have come, you know, just stop by to visit and say, I'd love to give a lecture because I was involved in X, Y, and Z. It's kind of interesting that a few times we've had people come in and look at our helicopters, look at the tail number, and say, I actually flew that one in the war, and I can tell you some stories about it.
Oh, my Lord. Do you get a lot of veterans there?
Oh, yes, yeah, quite a number. And, you know, we have them both as our volunteers and then veterans group come in. And in the fall, we've been working with Westchester University on a veterans tribute event, and we have one in the planning stage again for this November.
As an historian, I always like to look in people's archives or their libraries. I know that your library and archives are available for, I guess, special visits if you arrange in advance. Tell us how people who might have an interest in doing some research, how would they go about that?
All they would have to do is call the museum's main number and say what they're interested in and why, and you know, we'll set up to one of our docents to take them through the archives.
Do you get many people come in and try to do a little bit of reading or research there?
Not as much as we would like. We still think we're a little hidden gem. People see our helicopters, don't realize that we have 18,000 items in our archive, including some real rare items. We have Igor Sikorsky's original slide rule. We have Juan de la Cervera's patent, we actually have some hardware that has some historical value to it, in addition to lots of drawings, documents, reports.
Interesting. You know, I have been to the museum, but I've not taken an official tour. I did take a stroll through there a little while back, but I definitely plan to visit it again. For our guests listening in, the website is AmericanHelicopter.museum. That's the actual call phrase, AmericanHelicopter.museum, and you can go online and see a lot of information about their site. Mark, you've given us a lot of information about what you actually have there. What opportunities are there for people to get involved with the museum?
I love people who work on the helicopters, so you don't have to have any experience. We'll train. You could be a docent. We'll give you the script to walk people through. We have birthday parties, weddings, bar mitzvahs there. You can help work those events or other special events. We have a helicopter called Stubby that we take out to all kinds of events. We just were at some this past weekend, and we like people to go out and host the public on that. So again, if there's information on the website about that, or they can call the museum.
Excellent. Again, that's AmericanHelicopter.museum. Mark, you've been so helpful describing all the things that are there. I want to go back sometime soon, and maybe I'll go back to take a helicopter ride one of these days. Thanks so much for being with us today, Mark, and be sure to tune in next week, Wednesday, May 11th at 1 p.m., when we'll be speaking with Chuck Holman, curator of the Christian Sanderson Museum in Chads Ford, PA, which highlights over 200 years of American history. Thank you all for joining us today for Living History.